What is baptism? Baptism is a sacrament wherein the washing with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost doth signify and seal our engrafting into Christ and partaking of the benefits of the covenant of grace and our engagement to be the Lord's.
Question 94 in the Shorter Catechism. We now come to the sacrament of baptism. So we've talked about generally what the sacraments are, baptism and Lord's Supper, how they're made effectual to the salvation of God's people. Now we're going to look in particular at these two sacraments. So the first is baptism. And just one introductory point here. You'll notice as you're reading through the answer to this question, what is baptism, that there's a distinction that may be helpful. Our Baptist brethren have a very different view of baptism than we do. And without wanting to oversimplify, the Baptists think in terms of baptism, they think of it as the Christian saying something to God or to the world. And so they're making this public profession, and they are basically stating something, as it were, their commitment, their faith in Christ, and their commitment to the Lord, and so on. But with the doctrine that you see in the Westminster Confession and also in the Dutch Reformed Creeds and so on, it's quite different than that. Well, at least somewhat different. So if the Baptists are saying, they're primarily saying something themselves, the doctrine given to us here in the Shorter Catechism kind of reverses the direction. In baptism, God is actually saying something to us. That the main emphasis is God saying, this is who I am for you. This is what I will do for you. And so it's emphasizing God's promise to us and all of the provisions that God is making for us. Now we have two parts in the sacrament of baptism. We noted this earlier, that there are these two parts. There's the outward sensible sign. And in the case of baptism, that would be water. And then we have the inward spiritual grace, which comes in baptism. And that would include, again, Christ and the benefits of the new covenant, right? The benefits of the new covenant. So the sacraments in the New Testament have a simplicity about them. And this mirrors kind of a general trend. In the Old Testament, there was a lot of complexity to the ceremonial system, right? You had these priests, and they had different responsibilities. You had the porters, and you had the people that worked in the temple itself, those who did the preparing of the sacrifice and offering of the sacrifice, and the priests had different functions. There was very elaborate, right? You have this beautiful temple with gold, and you have lavers and bowls and as I said, altars, and there's this laborious work of sacrificing the animals, the transfer, the priest putting his hand on the head to symbolize the transfer of the sins of the people to the beast, and the sprinkling of the blood on the people and on the altar and other things, right? There's a lot of complexity to it. Whereas when you come to the New Testament, the ordinances are very simple generally. So we have the preaching and reading of God's word, and we have prayer, and we have singing of psalms, and we have the sacraments. And there's a simplicity in all of that. There's no holy place, so we don't have buildings that are in themselves holy. We can have a church building like the one that we're in here, where the Lord's people assemble. It's kind of a meeting house where we're assembling for the purpose of worship. But you could also meet in the fields or in the moors, as the covenanters did, or in, you know, a tree house for that matter, or a cave, or a barn, in homes, big, large homes, as they did in some cases in the New Testament. The place can be anywhere. Why? Because the transactions of public worship are actually taking place in the sanctuary of heaven before the throne of God, where our high priest is in heaven. And so there's an earthly simplicity. You'll see the same thing. We don't have elaborate liturgies. We don't have, in contrast to Rome, a priesthood. They have altars. They have incense. They have, you know, candles that are being lit, and it's very elaborate. In the New Testament, we don't see any of that. Zero. None. Right? There's none of that there. There's a simplicity. And so it doesn't surprise us that when we come to the sacraments in particular, that they're also characterized by simplicity. Water. I mean, how much more simple can you get than water? There's hardly any substance around more simple than that. And yet that is the outward sensible sign that the Lord has appointed for baptism. Water's everywhere. And easy access to it, making it very easy for people to have access to and using it. So the outward form has a simplicity to it. The inward reality comes by the Spirit working faith in the hearts of his people. So we note that the institution of this ordinance is given to us in the name of the triune God. So notice that it is in the name singular of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So baptizing them, to use Matthew 28, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It also brings with it this idea here, reinforces what we find elsewhere with regards to baptism about our union with Christ. Baptism includes conveying of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see this in a variety of places in 1 Corinthians and in Romans and Colossians and so on. So Christ is coming to us with the benefits of the covenant. So we have our union with Christ. We have the benefits of the new covenant once again. And we have our engagement to be the Lord's, that we belong to the Lord. You'll see this in Romans as well. Now the question comes, and we'll talk more in, I think, the next question about who gets baptized, believers and their children. We don't presume in baptism that a person has received all of these benefits or is themselves possessing the reality of all of the fullness of the gospel. So when we're thinking of infants, for example, we don't baptize them because of presumption. We presume that they're regenerate. No, we don't believe that at all. Nor do we presume that baptism itself will regenerate them, that by sprinkling them with water, their sins are cleansed, right? That's the view of Rome, of Roman Catholicism. We do not believe that. We believe, in fact, we presume that they're sinners, hence their need for cleansing. So the idea of baptism, where we need our sins washed away, we need to be sprinkled with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to have the Holy Spirit poured out upon us, all of which is part of the content of baptism, all of that presumes that they're sinners, that we are indeed sinners, and that the Lord is the one who must cleanse us from the contamination of all of this sin. The Lord, the baptism is attached to entrance into the visible church. It's attached to our entrance into or admission to the visible church. So if there's a person who's grown up in a pagan background, they're brought to faith at, let's say, 32 years old, and they're converted and brought to faith in Christ, they come and they profess their faith, and they're going to join the visible church, they're baptized, right? We baptize them, and that is part of their admission into the visible church. Now, we also believe that it's true that baptism is to be applied, as we'll see more later, to not only believers, like that 32-year-old converted out of paganism, but also to be applied to the children of believers. And so children are likewise in baptism being brought into the visible church, marked out and enclosed within the visible church, the outward body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is related, of course, to the doctrine of the covenant. The sacraments are very much related to that. They're signs and seals of the covenant of grace. And we noted in previous catechism classes that there is this administration, this outward administration of the Lord's covenant, of the covenant of grace. And baptism is attached to that outward administration where we're brought into and enveloped into the covenant of God's grace. But then, of course, there's the substance of the covenant, the internal substance of the covenant, and not everyone within the visible church or within the administration of the covenant of grace have the reality and possess all of the benefits and substance of that covenant in their souls. So baptism is applied outwardly to the body, but it signifies and seals the covenant of grace to those that are in the visible church. Now, just as we saw with the Word of God, the written Word of God, so here the efficacy of baptism is attached to the ministry of the Spirit, working faith in the recipient. So just because a person's baptized does not, as it were, send them to heaven, justified by faith and cleansed from all of their sins and clothed with the righteousness of Christ. The efficacy is attached to the work of the Spirit. Now that doesn't mean that it's even immediately connected with the time of baptism. Not at all. The Spirit works according to His own sovereign good pleasure. But the baptism brings to us visibly the same thing that the written word brings to us audibly. And therefore, the baptism is reinforcing, as it were, the gospel. The content of baptism conveys the gospel, which is the heart of the covenant of grace itself. And so, for example, a child who is baptized as an infant, as they reflect upon their baptism, they're reflecting upon who God is, who He said He would be to them, and what He said He would do to them. And when the Spirit accompanies that, working faith in them, it's a means of wooing or drawing them to the Lord, so that they see, here is God who is able to wash and cleanse me with the blood of Christ, to pour out the Holy Spirit upon me, to unite me with Christ, to cause me to be justified by faith, and so on and so forth. And all of that is being conveyed to them in their baptism as the Spirit accompanies it and the works it in their soul. They are then, along with the preaching of God's Word, which reinforces and provides the content for baptism, they're drawn to Christ to close with Him in the gospel. And it's by faith that they end up receiving, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, all of the benefits that are signified and sealed in baptism itself. They're indeed washed from their sins and filled with the Holy Spirit and united to Christ and justified by faith and so on and so forth. So whether it's an adult who's being baptized through profession of faith, who'd never been baptized before, coming out of paganism, or whether it be a child who is born into a covenant home and baptized as the child of a believer, in both cases, the efficacy is still tied to the sovereign ministry of the Holy Spirit, who works faith in the souls of the Lord's elect people. And so in question 94, it says, what is baptism? Baptism is a sacrament wherein the washing with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost doth signify and seal our engrafting into Christ and partaking of the benefits of the covenant of grace and our engagement to be the Lord's.